Hello, Big Rob. How you doing, sir?
I'm fine, sir. How are you today?
Doing great. Doing great. Bringing in our guest for today, Attorney Jason Kokoma, who is running for judge in the beautiful county of Muskegon. Jason, Attorney Jason Kokoma, how you doing today, sir?
Good. How are you?
Man, doing great. Doing great. You got like, what? Is it a week or 2 weeks? You got a week?
Yeah, 1 week. Next Tuesday, August 2nd.
It's happening quick.
Yeah, it has.
Wow. Well, this is your second time, right, running?
This is my second. 2 years ago, I ran for district court. That was Judge Close's seat. And now there's two judgeships that are opening up. And one is a new judgeship, and the other one is Judge Marietti's seat. And so I put my name in for Judge Marietti's seat. I saw a scroll bar, something on your channel that said that I'm running for the new judgeship, but that is not the case. I am running for Judge Marietti's seat.
Yeah, I noticed that. Yeah, I noticed that, and that's why I took it down. So this, you know, to the people, they might not know the difference, but why do you think that's important to distinguish those?
Well, I don't know if it's too important. We're getting two circuit court judges. I think that Judge Marietti did criminal cases as well as civil cases. So he would, you know, in addition to his criminal docket, he had, you know, I had a Right to Farm Act case, for example, in front of him, and injunctions, things like that. Judge Pittman, being the chief judge of both the probate court and the circuit court, can kind of switch things around based upon who's elected and what their skill set is. But I think that he anticipates the new judgeship to be family law, and the old, or the Judge Marietti's seat, to be criminal and civil. But I'd let Judge Pittman speak for himself on what he anticipates doing.
Right. How's the campaign going?
Pretty good. Getting a lot of positive feedback. As I said, this is my second time running. So I have, I'm kind of building upon my experience from 2 years ago, trying to make some, not make the same mistakes, clean up some mistakes. I'm learning that I'm making new mistakes. 2 years ago was a little bit different because it was COVID. And as though the world stopped, you know, there weren't meetings. We couldn't hold fundraisers. We weren't even supposed to go door to door. And so, you know, I'd go out planting signs at, you know, until 4 or 5 in the morning on commercial properties. And there was really nothing to do in the morning, you know, my criminal cases or civil cases. We didn't have to go to court. So it freed up a lot of time when the world stopped. But now that isn't the case. Now I still got to do those signs. But if I stay up till 4 in the morning doing it, I might be a little groggy in the morning for what I have to do in court.
Right. So what do you do right now? What kind of practice do you have now?
For the last 9 years, ever since I moved back to Muskegon, I was living in Lansing previously, but right now I'm just general practice, which means I look at it as responding to the needs of regular people. And what regular people need most is criminal law representation for drunk drivings and domestic violence or larceny. They need a will, they need deeds, I do liquor licenses, civil litigation, divorce, a lot of family. It's mainly family law and criminal, but there are other things that I do. Right now I'm trying to do exclusively criminal because civil cases take a little too long. And I'm in the midst of this election, and running for judge is almost like a full-time job.
Yeah.
So that's what I do currently, but my background, I've been practicing law for 25 years and it hasn't been static. My first 2 years were with David Bowen here in town doing real estate and business transactions. And then for 13 years, I moved back to Lansing. Even when I was working for Bowen, I was living in Lansing, but making the commute, staying at my parents, working home on Fridays. In 1999, I got a job in Lansing representing cities, counties, and townships through an insurance carrier, MMRMA, it's called. That's who insures the city of Muskegon and Muskegon County. So I would represent cities and counties all across the state for every time you sue them for discrimination and property issues, personal injury, excessive force, high-speed chases, FOIA, Open Meetings Act, things of that nature.
Oh, wow. Wow. So you have the experience to be a judge?
I do have the experience. I think that the civil experience in particular is something that is in need in this county, because we've lost two judges, Judge Hicks, and we're going to Marietti's retiring, and they pretty much ran a significant amount of the civil docket. And when your background is in family law, or, you know, a public defender or prosecutor, you really don't have great opportunities to apply rules of civil procedure, which relates to all of that other stuff.
Wow. Big Bob, go ahead, man.
So if Attorney Jason Kokoma wins this race and turns into Judge Jason Kokoma, what can the county expect from you?
They can expect a judge that's going to sit down and listen to people, first of all. Kind of like listen to them from a core element, because I have a pretty good relationship with people. I'm a people person. I'm very social. And I've sat and listened to people for a significant amount of time, in bars, as in, just building friendships, renewing my friendships after I moved to Muskegon 9 years ago, moved back here. I'm born and raised here. So, I went to kindergarten here, and I have friends from kindergarten that are still my friends to this day. And I know a lot of people through a big family. Even if they don't know me very well, they know my sister, or they've heard of me or whatever. But over the last 9 years, I've really gotten to talk to people, both as a private citizen, as well as an attorney, and to sit down and listen to them in their frustrations with the system, and their all of the personal dynamics that they have, whether it's, issues that relate to alcoholism, or parents with Alzheimer's, or special needs kids, a lot of, I think that judges need to have a pretty good understanding about the life experiences of regular people.
Have you been mentored by any of the current or past judges?
Not in Muskegon County. I would not say I was mentored. I'm somewhat of an outsider. I don't hobnob with judges. My main mentor, my first mentor here in Muskegon, was David Bowen, an attorney. And then, as I said, I lived out in Lansing for a significant amount of time. So a great mentor I had out there was Pat Asseltime. He did a lot of employment stuff, worked for Johnson Rosati. But the judges around here, I get along with all of the judges, and I have some good friends. I was on Jeff Nolan's campaign, did several parades for him. He's a close personal friend, but I wouldn't characterize any of them as mentors.
Right. How has this race been? Has it been a clean race?
I think that it's pretty clean. I have nothing bad to say about any of my opponents. I like them all. Some of them I don't know all that well, but I certainly have nothing bad to say, other than I'm more experienced than they are, especially in terms of the civil stuff that goes on in the courts. But, this is a nonpartisan position. And a lot of people can't make that transition from the Democrat-Republican stuff to the nonpartisan stuff. I mean, obviously, when we're looking at judges, we're not looking for them to be in bed with a certain political party. And as for myself, I've never belonged to either party. I've never donated to either party. I never attended a local party meeting until 2 years ago. And that's when I ran for district court. And that's just because a friend of mine, counselor, David Schaefer, told me that I need to go talk to the Democrats. He told me I need to talk to the Republicans too. But that's, I represented a lot of cities and counties, and their boards would be composed of Democrats and Republicans. I represented prosecutors and sheriffs. And regardless of whether they were a Democrat or Republican, I just wanted to win their case. And so when you're in that environment, you become a little apolitical. I can laugh at both parties. Let's put it that way.
Huh, we both can say that. Big Rob, can you take this online question? Can't hear you, Big Rob. Can't hear you, sir.
I'm sorry. Benita Threadgill said, what area of law would you say is your specialty? And also, do you have experience with mediation?
Yeah, good questions. If there's any area of the law that I would say is my specialty, I would say that it relates to real estate. Like I said, I began with Dave Bowen, did a lot of, you know, condo developments. So I'm familiar with the transactional side. And when you're doing transactional work, you're not always in court, but some of the stuff you're doing in the documents is to keep you out of court. So if you're not going to court, you're actually doing a good job. But, you know, and even at Johnson Rosati, real estate, you know, I did a lot of zoning, takings without just compensation, quiet title right now I do. Real estate is kind of like my background, that and personal injury. Again, this is on the civil side of things. So I would say that that's really my background, but it relates to all civil litigation. I'm pretty diverse when it comes to areas of the law. And that's important because courts have jurisdiction over the felonies on the criminal side. And then on the civil side, they have jurisdiction over claims over $25,000. And so that could be personal injury, breach of contract, property disputes. But there's a whole bunch of statutes which assign jurisdiction to the circuit court. And that would be things like Employment, Whistleblower Protection Act, Elliot Larson Civil Rights Act, Open Meetings Act, Freedom of Information Act. Just several statutes which say that the court has jurisdiction. Insofar as it relates to mediation, yes. One of the essential parts of being a lawyer, and as a case proceeds its way on the track, is mediation. And there are always great opportunities for mediating. And that means meeting in the middle. So it requires a lot of client control and explaining to them the benefits of mediation. And I would say that mediation has always been pretty successful from my standpoint.
All right. Tracy Morris said, oh boy, I'm sure his comment was about you saying you can laugh at both parties. So yeah. He's a diehard Republican. I know you, Tracy. I know what you meant. Also, criminal justice, how much experience do you bring to the table if you pick to run, you know, to be in one of the criminal courts?
Yeah, I mean, when I worked for Dave Bowen, even though it was primarily civil litigation, every once in a while I'd have a friend with a drunk driving case and I'd put an appearance in. The same thing would occur while I was over in Johnson Rosati for 13 years. But I would say that the most of my experience in the criminal was after I got divorced and moved back to Muskegon. In operating a general practice law firm, a good chunk of it, probably about half, has been criminal during that period of time. But I've done criminal cases all along the way. I don't find that criminal law is as intellectually challenging as the civil stuff. I know that people, because of fear of crime and stuff, it weighs heavily on them. And it does occupy a significant part of the document, more than half. 60% probably.
How do you feel about mandatory sentencing?
You know, all of that stuff is usually in place because the legislature creates laws and they set a certain time period for crimes, certain crimes like felony firearm or but you know, I don't like it. I think that judges need to exercise a little discretion. We do have sentencing guidelines and they are completely advisory, but they, you know, they give judges the essential tools they need to make fair sentencing decisions. A lot of this relates to whether there's my view on sentencing, a lot of it relates to whether it's a victimless crime or there's a true victim involved. A lot of offenses are victimless. It means they're a crime to society, but really you're doing it to yourself, like drug use, for example, or even drunk drivings. Until you actually kill somebody, it's essentially a victimless crime. Now, when it happens and you do kill somebody, then there's a real victim, and it's not just drunk driving.
Right. Go ahead, Big Rob. We're still losing you, sir.
You say victimless crimes. Kind of explain to people, in my opinion, what victimless crimes is. I know you gave us a brief synopsis, drunk driving, things of that nature, but the there's a broader brush to that too, correct?
Oh yeah. I mean, it includes most of drug offenses, possession of cocaine, possession of heroin. I mean, you know, people have drug problems, and that's something that needs to be corrected. But essentially, they're doing it to themselves. I mean, there's a market for it. There are people that want drugs. But, you know, just simply, we're not talking about the sale of narcotics, but just possessing, you know, narcotics is essentially a victimless crime. The only damage you're doing is to yourself by consuming some narcotic or something of that nature. But it's deemed to be a law against society. But it is very broad, and a lot of people go to prison for victimless crimes.
Yes.
As opposed to murder or rape or theft from somebody. Right. And those distinctions are very important to me.
Right. How do you feel, what needs to be done to increase minority participation in the jury selection?
You know, it's a fairly complex system, but I think that more African-Americans need to get out and vote. And but you know, sometimes it's the socioeconomic aspects, not just African-Americans, because they might be living in apartments and they might have to move more frequently than people that are more stable with a house. You know, the government might not have their proper address when they send out the initial mailings to juries. It's a fairly complex problem, but I definitely do believe that they are underrepresented in jury pools. I mean, when we're talking about, the Constitution gives us a right to a jury of our peers, which means many different things. In military court, it's military officers. But we're talking just regular citizens here. And, you know, I think that their participation on juries is underestimated or under accounted for.
Right.
A lot of that will require legislative change, you know, which I'm, you know, hopeful that people find a way of responding to it. I think that's a pay grade above me. You know, I'm not a legislature. You know, I don't have a lot of good suggestions as to how we would increase it. And you also have, preemptory challenges. So, you know, you get some that are for any reason whatsoever. And that those might be used for as a basis for striking African-Americans from a jury selection.
Right. How can people join your campaign?
They can reach out to me anytime. I'm pretty active on Facebook. I have a website. All of my social media with Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook, it's all Kokomo for Judge with the number 4. My donation pages with Cash App and Venmo and PayPal, they're all Kokomo for Judge with the number 4. And I have a website, which is Kokomo for Judge with the number 4 in it. Or you can just give me a call on my cell phone. I believe all my cards and, has a number for them. My personal cell phone is 517-763-7100. It's a throwback to the days that I lived in Lansing, where I have a 517 number. But you'll get me, and I'm pretty accessible. I view myself as one of the most accessible attorneys here. When the phone rings, it's not going to be my secretary. It's usually going to be me.
So. Jason, at our forum that we did at Christ Temple Church, you mentioned how you were rather, I think so many words, hang out with normal people than be with the status quo. And I think you mentioned the bike club or the club, something like that. But why do you think that is important, that part?
Again, I mean, you know, regular people, you know, the trials and tribulations of regular people, you know, a lot of attorneys, judges, business people, you know, the rich elites, they don't have the problems that regular people have because they have money, and money has a tendency to kind of buy you things. You certainly, you know, you don't have to switch jobs as much, or, you know, you don't understand the plight of what regular people with not a lot of money have to go through. the struggles in life. And I think that's incredibly important because people in these decisions, these are very important decisions that we're making. And people need to have an understanding as to what it's like to be poor, what it's like to have an autistic child or a retarded child, or, you know, there's just circumstances in life which set people back. And, you know, I think I have a pretty good understanding of that from listening to people and dealing with it personally, frankly.
Rob, anything before we go?
No, I think we covered everything.
Any other information you want to get out to the public, Jason?
Just to get out and vote. I'd like to thank the Beat for giving me this opportunity. We have election day 1 week from now. This is a primary election, so you kind of have to go in there. A lot of people are going to be disappointed when they look at the ballot because it's, you know, they might want to vote for Gretchen Whitmer, but there's nobody running against her, and you have to pick a side, Democrat or Republican. But there's all this stuff down at the bottom. And that's the nonpartisan stuff. And, you know, so just because you're voting Republican or Democrat, you can still vote in the judicial sections because it's nonpartisan. And, you know, this is a great opportunity. We have a number of great people running in both sides. There's the Judge Marietti's seat and then this new judgeship. So we're going to get two new judges. And, you know, it's a very important decision for the people, and they need to get out and vote for sure.
All right. Thank you for being available, and we'll be talking to you on election day, I guess.
All right. Sounds good.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you very much.